Well, good morning, dear friends. And let me say it before you do. What a dreadful gospel we have this morning. Trust me when I say I'd trade today's text for just about any other, anytime or anywhere, even Trinity Sunday. This text has only been added fairly recently to the lectionary cycle, the one laid out in the Revised Common Lectionary that the Episcopal Church now uses. You won't find it in the old Episcopal Lectionary. If you pull out your Book of Common Prayer and look for the lessons for today, it won't be there. You might, like I was, wondering just why it's included by anyone at all. I have certainly been pondering this question for the last several days. It's only barely about Jesus, and there seems to be no good news. What were they thinking when they included this appalling, sordid, tawdry story? For that matter, what was Mark thinking to include it in his gospel? Upon consideration, I actually think Mark included this tale and positioned it within the wider text quite purposefully. And I think those compiling the lectionary included it for our study for similar reasons. It offers us a couple of very important lessons. Let's take a step back for just a minute. The episodes in the Gospels are generally focused on Jesus and are written and arranged to teach us about Jesus, the nature of God, or the kingdom of God. But there are also stories like this one that are what I'd call cautionary tales. They're included to warn us about behaviors that can hurt or harm ourselves or others. This sort of story teaches by providing an example. In the case of this particular text, a really graphic example of how not to behave. Recall with me the setting of the story, because it's important to one of the reasons why Mark has included it in his gospel and why we need to hear it. Remember the lesson we heard last week? Jesus has sent out his closest followers in pairs to preach repentance and cure the sick. They've come back after doing many miracles, but the actual debrief of all that they've done won't happen until Mark chapter 6, verses 30 and 31. Today's text is included here to graphically illustrate what can happen when God's prophet, or a follower of Jesus, speaks God's truth in public, particularly when the values of a society clash with the values of God's kingdom. Now, certainly, the political cultural situation of Herod Antipas, the Romans, and John the Baptizer differed from 21st century America. But that doesn't alter the reality that the world continues to value power and prestige over justice and righteousness. There's always resistance to those who minister on behalf of God's kingdom. John unflinchingly told the truth, regardless of the consequences, and it led to his death. By the way, does that sound like anyone else you may have heard about? In Advent, we hear the tales of John the Baptizer preparing the way for Jesus' ministry. In this season after Pentecost, we're reminded that John prepared the way for Jesus' death as an innocent, too. You know, as Christians, we just can't be on the fence. We either give our full affirmation and allegiance to the truth of the gospel, no matter the consequences, or we're not who we claim to be. Which leads into the second main point we're called to consider by this Tale of Two Kingdoms text. Who are we in our public and private lives? And what prompts the words and actions that define us and our lives? Too often I live in Herod's world. Too often I need to be reminded of God's grace. Which brings us to our text from Ephesians. More than just a great balance to Mark's cautionary tale of Herod's excess and superficiality, it's an incredibly beautiful reminder of the grace of the Christian life. as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. Life in this world compels us to live in two kingdoms, that of Herod and that of God. We're called upon to make endless choices between the politics of power and expediency and the politics of prophecy and inconvenient truth. Life in Herod's kingdom can wear us down and obscure our true path of discipleship. But again from Ephesians, with all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. We're those disciples Jesus sent out into Herod's world last week. We've been given God's work to do, gifts to use for the spread of God's kingdom, and the words of God's truth. Though we've gone forth in vulnerability, we're not unarmed. We have nothing to fear because the truth of Christ. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. We live in a time in which public shaming is common. Prestige and power still overshadow justice and righteousness. In spite of God's gift of grace to us in Christ, it's no less a difficult and painful choice to hold to your convictions and speak God's truth today than it was for John the Baptizer. In more places than I'd like to consider, speaking that truth can have the same consequences as it did for John and Jesus. So I guess the question we disciples face today is, to whose tune do we dance? Do you hear God's tune as David, John the Baptizer, Jesus, and his disciples heard? Do you speak up, even at personal cost? Are you a prophet for God? Or do you hear the music from Herod's party, feel that you have to do what's expected to avoid embarrassment, though it may not be the right thing to do? We have available to us in Christ the strength and courage to speak the truth and face the consequences. This is part of the work of the kingdom we're both called to do and empowered to do. Be strengthened through the community we share in Christ and through the communion we share in Christ's holy meal. Be sustained for your work as prophet and speaker of the truth. Dance to God's tune with joy, for in him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Amen.